This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham.
Remember back, if you can, to when you were just 8 or 9. What would it have been like if one day some professional songwriters had entered your school and over the next couple of days they helped you and your classmates write a song? A song then recorded by professional artists, sounding something like this.
I'm walking the walk and talking the talk. You best get off my shoes. Please, unless you wanna be me.
More than 30,000 school kids across the country have now had just such an experience thanks to the Virginia-based children's creativity group, Kid Pan Alley. And that group will be our focus right after the news. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. Over the past decade and a half, thousands of school children across the country have had what, for many, was a life-changing experience. In a period of just a few short days, they learned they had the ability to create their own music, to write songs of professional caliber, artistry that would be viewed seriously by others. From Virginia to California, Vermont to Hawaii, the group Kid Pan Alley has been taking its effort to celebrate creativity into America's classrooms. And since it's been several years since we last visited with Kid Pan's founder, a professional musician and songwriter himself, we figured it was time for an update. Paul Reisler, welcome back to the Inside Studios.
Great to be here.
And also with us is another professional musician who was in grade school herself when Kid Pan Alley got started back in the late 1990s. But today, in addition to her own career as a vocalist and songwriter, she often works with Kid Pan programs in schools across the country. Heather May, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, Heather, you're still fairly new at this, so I'd like to go to you first. And ask you, what's your explanation of what Kid Pan Alley is, what it does, and how it works?
Well, you know, as you said, I actually grew up in Virginia and went to schools in Loudoun County, and I was a child that loved music, and I wished I had had something like Kid Pan Alley. When we walk into schools, we look at the students and say, who's written a song? And a couple will raise their hands and say, oh, I have. And but the majority of them say, you know, oh, well, I don't know how to do that. And in those, I was an hour and a half, we write a song with them. Professional musicians walk into a classroom and then turn a class of 20 students into songwriters. And they, you know, in the beginning of it say, oh, I just don't know how to do that. I don't know what that is. I don't know how to write a song. I can't do that. I'm just a kid. We walk in and I wish I had had that growing up. As somebody who knew at the age of like 3 watching Little Mermaid, I loved music. And as soon as I knew the process and met Paul and heard about the mission behind Kid Pan Alley, I knew I wanted to be a part of it just because, you know, it really does change kids' lives. It makes a 6-year-old into a possible songwriter.
What do you see in the children after this week's effort is over? And I realize it's only a couple of hours during the week, but there's some more details that Paul will tell us in a moment. I'm just curious, since you've been doing this for basically a matter of months now, with your fresh eyes at something that's been going on for almost a decade and a half, what is it that you see that's different about the kids between the beginning of the week and the end of the week?
Well, for example, fifth graders, you know, often have like, they're turning into cool kids. And when you first say to them, like, do you want to write a song with me? A lot of them are like, I don't need to do it. But by the end of the week, all of a sudden you hear these, you know, female singers who have these amazing vocal ability, and they just erupt because they believe in themselves. They just created a song. And not only did they create a song, but it's not a kid's song. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. So you see this bright light and excitement that wasn't there in the beginning of the week because they're proud of themselves. I mean, they created something from absolutely nothing. That's probably my favorite part.
Paul Reisler, please join in.
Well, Heather said it beautifully, and what our mission is to inspire kids to be creators of their own culture and also to reinvigorate creativity as a core value in education. And, you know, we're living in a creative economy, and yet creativity isn't really able to be taught in school very much. So what I've found in all the work we're doing is we're trying to inspire the children, have them realize that they can do great work, that they can write a song that's worthy of and as good as anything anyone's written. I like to say kids make the greatest songwriters. And after 2,200 or 2,300 songs, I still very much believe that. They make such great songwriters that people like Amy Grant and Delbert McClinton and Kix Brooks of Brooks and Dunn and Sissy Spacek have all sung songs we've written and recorded songs we've written with children in elementary school.
Tell me more, Paul Reisler, about this phrase you used, reinvigorate creativity as a core value.
Well, I think what's happened is so much has been, so much of school time is oriented towards taking tests and standards of learning, which are factual based. You have to learn how to answer a question. And creativity is not this linear thing like answering a question. Creativity is this nonlinear, start staring at a blank page and see what comes. And so I don't think that there's a whole lot of training in creativity in schools these days. And so I feel more so than ever the necessity of us doing this kind of work.
What does creativity mean to a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old?
Well, I think that's a great question. And if you think about Picasso's quote, you know, we're all born as artists and the challenge is to remain one. We wrote a song with first graders down at Red Hill Elementary in Albemarle County. And it was one that we used as the title track for our Charlottesville album. It's called I Used to Know the Names of All the Stars. And it started off, one of these kids had, I said, what do you want to write about? And this kid's hand shot up in the air and they decided they wanted to write about the planets because they were studying that. And so I said, well, who knows the names of all the planets? And this other kid's hand shot up and he said, oh, I used to know the names of all the stars. I mean, planets. And I said, wait a minute. What a great title. I used to know the names of all the stars. Why did you used to know them? Oh, I knew everything back before I was born. And then we started talking about how, you know, we're born knowing everything. And when we're born, the angel slaps us on the mouth and we forget it all. And we have to go through life and through school to learn it all again. We wrote this beautiful song. I used to know the names of all the stars. Now I only know a few planets like Mercury, Earth, and Mars. I used to know the names of every child back before I was born, back when I was safe and warm, back when I was flying in the sky. Now I have to go to school, learn it all again, get good grades, and try and remember when. And then the last verse is, I used to know the leaf of every tree. Now it's just a forest in the dusk of evening. I used to see the God in everything. Now it's just rustling, a whisper that I'm trusting when the redbud blossoms in the spring. Now I have to go to sleep, learn it all again, get good grades, and try and remember when I used to know the names of all the stars. So I think kids have that innate creativity, but I've also seen how as they get older, the creativity leaves. I like to say that there's an inverse relationship between the quality of the songs and the age of the children. After about fourth grade, and you write great songs with younger kids, and as they start getting older and they start questioning their own creative ability and they become self-conscious and they've heard things that they're trying to imitate on the radio, a lot of the creativity goes away.
Paul Reisler is the founder and artistic director of the children's creativity agency, Kid Pan Alley. A professional singer-songwriter himself, he's heard most often in public with the band called Paul Reisler and A Thousand Questions. Heather May is also a professional vocalist and songwriter. In addition, for just a little over a year now, she's been one of the trainers working in Kid Pan classroom events in Virginia and Vermont. My name, by the way, is Tom Graham. This is Virginia Insight, and we will at some point in the near future open the phone lines, but we want to give a little bit more demonstration of how this is done, because it's kind of hard to believe, isn't it, that kids can end up writing the kind of lyrics that Paul was just telling us about. So, Paul, we're going to play a little audio from one of the training videos that you use for new musicians who join in your program and then go in the classrooms. Set this up a little bit. Do you know what was happening in this classroom at the time that we're going to come in and hear you interacting with the kids, this song they're creating about homework?
Yeah, well, we were talking about, well, you know, how do you feel about homework? And one of the kids said, well, I feel like I'm married to homework because I have to do it all the time. And I said, wow, what a great idea and what a great title. I'm married to homework. And so we started talking about that, and that's how this song came about.
Okay, so we're going to play just about a minute of this video that goes on for an hour. And to you on the other side of your radio, I want to ask you to listen as closely as you can, because the microphone is right in front of Paul. And if you catch it, you'll hear that most everything he ends up saying as a lyric is a response to some child shouting something out, but the child's voice is often a little hard to hear.
It won't even help with my chores, and all night long it
makes me bored.
All night long
it uses a pencil to sweep the floor.
It won't even sweep the floor. And all it does is snore.
And
it's such a snore. Does it?
No. And it snores.
Which you like? You would you like? And it snores, or what did I just say there?
And it's
married to homework. It can't even boil an egg.
And it's so
bored. What do you think about this? I'm married to homework. It can't even boil an egg. It won't help me sweep the floor. And all night long it snores. So let's try it. Let's try singing. 1, 2, 3.
I'm married to homework. It can't even boil an egg. It won't help me sweep the floor. And all my long is yours.
Okay, and then what's our next line? Danielle.
When I was trying to look at the thing, your guitar was in the way.
My guitar is in the way.
Yeah.
His guitar is in the way.
Heather May, what did you hear listening to that clip?
It's so realistic. It captures the beauty of the creativity because, you know, we walk in there and we've done co-writes with, you know, professional musicians, but often those are so quiet, you know, those co-writes with an adult. But when you walk into a room full of students and you do a co-write, there are so many ideas flying around. And, you know, sometimes you want them to raise their hand, but often with these huge collaborations, they just shout out such brilliant things like that. And it's just so fun listening back. I've never listened back to a recording of a writing session. It's so realistic. It really captures the energy.
Paul has his guitar. You have your voice. You have a song you're going to sing for us. Unfortunately, we're getting close enough to the break that we wouldn't be able to do that song justice. So instead, what I'm going to ask our producers to do is to start with another Kid Pan Alley song created by children called I Do Love Virginia. Ask you listening to see if you can guess who's singing this. And we'll talk about it when we get back from the break.
Every time I drive up 29, I see that old man standing in the grass, waving to everyone who goes on by, being friendly to everyone who goes on past. Sunsets remind me of what heaven would look like. Who painted this Virginia sky? Purple, orange, red, and yellow. God is in the colors when you open your eyes. Ooh, I do love Virginia. Nothing will ever change my mind. Ooh, I do love Virginia. I will never leave this place behind. I will never leave this place behind. of the day, the sun and the light, and the joy of living right here in the past. For as I see, the South speaks and I listen, old as time and new as the dawn. Song of the peepers and the whippoorwill calling. The times may be changing, but the spirit lives.
The Virginia-based agency Kid Pan Alley estimates that over the past 14 years, some 30,000 youngsters have participated in its songwriting programs in classrooms across the country. Kid Pan Alley founder and artistic director Paul Reisler is one of our guests. Also with us, a Kid Pan associate who's been with the group for about a year, professional songwriter and vocalist Heather May. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. So to you listening, we picked up where we left off before we went to the break with more of that song, I Do Love Virginia. We'll give you a few minutes more to get clear in your mind who that famous voice was singing. As Paul tells us how that song was created, it was fourth graders?
Fourth graders down at Tie River Elementary, which is in Nelson County. And as I was driving down there that morning, south of Charlottesville on Route 29, there's this old gentleman who stands there in the middle of the road and waves at everybody passing by with this most beautiful smile on his face. So when I got down there to the kids, I said, well, what's with that guy up there waving at everybody who drives by? And they say, oh, that's Jimmy. He just likes to make people happy. And I said, man, that would be a cool thing to write a song about, somebody who just spends their life trying to make people happy. And so we wrote this song imagining his life and what it's like out there waving. And then after we'd written it, we started performing it everywhere because I just loved the song so much. And people, I didn't see Jimmy out there for, maybe 6 or 8 months. And I was coming back from some other place, and there he was. And I wheeled into the median and jumped out of the car and said, hey, I wrote this song about you. And he said, oh, yeah, I know all about that. And I said, well, I'd like to sing it for you. And it was November, just getting dusk, and I pull out my guitar out of the back of the car and I start to play it for him and sing it for him. And he's got this beautiful smile on his face as he's listening to it. But every time a truck drives by, he turns around and waves at him. It was very humbling.
So tell us who the vocalist was in the recorded version of the song.
Sissy Spacek, the most amazing actress. And if you all remember, she sang all the songs in Coal Miner's Daughter when she did that many years ago.
You have a song that you're going to perform live for us here in the Insight Studios, Heather May and Paul Reisler. Is there a story about this song?
Yes, actually, we wrote this with students in D.C. at an after-school program called Community Lodgings at the Corcoran Gallery of Art. We brought students in and they picked a piece that they loved. And this one was actually a beautiful sculpture of a bird flying out of, you know, some form of water. And at the bottom, at the very top, it looked like beautiful greenery. But at the bottom, as your eyes went down towards where the bird's feet were on the ground, it was machinery and had like chains wrapped around. And when we asked them, you know, well, why did, what does this say to you? It said, well, you just got it. One girl raised her hand very excited. She said, well, this just shows you just can't ever give up. Just got to keep on dreaming.
Do I understand correctly that many of the students in this special school had recently been homeless?
Yes. Yeah. So this was actually, Community Lodging is actually an after school program. So these were children whose parents and families had been transitioning from homelessness.
And the title of the song again?
We Need No Excuse for Dreaming.
And it was so beautiful when we did the concert of this at the Corcoran Gallery of Art, and we sent a bus over and they brought all the kids and their parents over, and the kids are taking their parents around the museum and showing them all the paintings and the sculptures like they own the museum. And it was such a beautiful experience.
Paul Reisler and Heather May from Kid Pan Alley, please go ahead.
We need no excuse for dreaming. We need no excuse to fly. And even though we may get stuck, we must keep on trying to break free
from the chains of time to always be free in our minds. We need no excuse for dreaming. We need no excuse to fly. Sometimes I get tangled in the life I weave like a spider caught in its web. It's hard to escape, cut through the red tape, and get those nightmares out of my head. So I dream of singing my song to the wind that opens my heart once again. We need no excuse for dreaming. We need no excuse to fly. And even though we may get stuck, we must keep on trying to break free from the chains of time, to always be free in our minds. We need no excuse for dreaming. We need no excuse to fly. Sometimes I think I could touch the clouds, go anywhere and do anything, float in midair and fly across the mountains. Just like the heron, I'll spread my wings. So I dream of singing my song to the wind that opens my heart once again. On trying to break free from the chains of time, to always be free in our minds. We need no excuse for dreaming. We need no excuse to fly. Oh, we need no excuse for dreaming. We need no excuse to fly.
Reisler on guitar, Heather May with the vocals. We Need No Excuse for Dreaming. The lyrics of that song written by school children in the District of Columbia.
Yes.
As part of the Kid Pan Alley program.
And the melody. We get the melody from the children also.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
We'll write a section of lyric, either a verse or a chorus first, and they'll say, well, who can sing that first line? And bunch of hands go up and kids take their turn singing it, and we vote on which one we want to use as the basic motif for the song. I'll then take that melody and I'll play it in three or four different styles and say, well, which one really fits the emotional quality? What is it that really expresses what we want to say here? And they'll choose one, and then we'll kind of go line by line. We'll sing the line over and over. Who's got the next line? And someone will sing it, and I'll come up with some harmonization for it, and we go through the song that way. So we're really able to get both lyric and music from the kids.
So to you who are listening, what do you think about all this? What would it have meant for you if you had had an experience like Kid Pan Alley when you were in school, coming into your classroom? What do you think it would mean for your children? Are you aware of there having been a Kid Pan Alley program in a school in your community? Would you like there to be one? 888-WMRA-TALK is how to reach us by phone. In all numbers, that's 888-967-2825. Joining us now by phone, an administrator from one of the elementary schools in the Charlottesville City School Division, assistant principal at Burnley Moran Elementary, Juanita Eddy. Ms. Eddy, thank you so very much for making time for us.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you again.
So I understand that your school did have a Kid Pan Alley program in at least one of your classrooms last year. What can you tell us about what you saw as the value of that program?
Well, I saw it was an opportunity for kids to share some things that in the regular part of our curriculum they might not have the opportunity to do so. They do have music with our fine music teacher several times a week, but this is an opportunity to express their feelings and be creative and be able to display that for their family and friends. So it kind of brought everything together for them on that rare opportunity during that week of working with the people from Kid Pan Alley.
Well, we've had such a wonderful time at Burnley Moran. I think we've been there 3 or 4 times now. And you know, each week we go in and write about 8 to 9 songs with the kids there. It's a great school.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Eddy, one of the things that the people like Paul and Heather, who are here in our studio, talk about with Kid Pan Alley is trying to encourage kids to see their abilities at creativity differently, to feel more confident that they have those kind of abilities. Have you mm-hmm. seen anything along those lines as a result of these Kid Pan programs at your school?
Well, I think it works in conjunction with some things that we already have in place at our school. It fit quite naturally for our students. We try to have an environment in which they are given the opportunity to explore things about themselves and other people in an environment where it's okay for them to share and they're accepted, and all we want for them to do is to try their best. And if they've tried their best, they're happy, and we're also proud and happy for them. But I think with Kid Pan Alley, it just really kind of helps them focus on some things that they don't always have time to focus on during the regular part of our school curriculum. And it was nice for them to work together. Many of the classes work together to pull their ideas together, and then they decided, you know, this is the one we want to use. And within the song, you had input from more than one child, so it made it great for everyone to have ownership, and then to bring it all together and have the melody and hear it and sing it and then share it. They were especially proud of actually what they created, and it wasn't something that no one else created. It was theirs, and that's a memory they can take with them for a lifetime.
Juanita Eddy, assistant principal at Burnley Moran Elementary in Charlottesville. Ms. Eddy, thank you so very much for making time for us.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day. Paul Reiser, one of the things that we haven't talked much about yet is what happens at the end of the week after you've, and if I understand correctly, over 2 days you spend 45 minutes to an hour with each class that's involved in this program.
Two times. So each song is written in an hour and a half to 2 hours.
But then at the end of the week, something kind of special happens for these kids.
So we'll start 4 songs on Monday, finish them on Tuesday, start 4 more on Wednesday and finish them on Thursday. Then Friday morning, we rehearse with the children. Friday afternoon, we have a concert for the school, for everyone in the school. And then Friday evening, we have a community concert. We think it's so important for the kids to have an opportunity to share their work with the entire community. And those concerts are really well attended because we've written songs with close to 200 children, and so we'll often have 400 to 600 or 700 people at the concerts, and the kids are so proud of what they've done. I think one of the things that's also been really important for Kid Pan Alley is we treat their work with the highest professional quality when we produce it, when we do the concerts, so they don't just feel like, hey, that's a nice painting you did there, Johnny, let's hang it on the refrigerator, but rather, oh, you know, you wrote this amazing song. Your class wrote this amazing song. Let's see if we can get Amy Grant or Sissy Spacek or Delbert McClinton to sing it. And I think that that really means something to them when we treat it with that level of value.
And those artists, as well as many others,
yes,
whose names are recognizable, have recorded these songs. We're going now to somewhere in Northern Virginia. I believe Cheryl is at a school that, Cheryl, you've had a Kid Pan Alley program in your school?
Yes, we've been very fortunate to have Kid Pan Alley residencies for the past 2 years.
What school district are you in?
I'm in Fairfax County. I'm the principal at Forestdale Elementary School.
And what's your impression been of this program when it's been in your school?
Well, I got to know Kid Pan Alley really through our Lee Pyramid. One of the elementary schools had been very fortunate to have Kid Pan Alley come and do an intergenerational residency where they worked with their children and also worked with residents, retired residents in the community. And so my PTA got very involved, and we brought Kid Pan Alley out last year to do the same type of program. And it was incredibly inspiring to see children talking with, retired residents, sharing stories, and then turning those stories into these magical moments of music and really exploring and expressing themselves in ways that were, it was just very profound.
One of the things that Kid Pan Alley does is we don't just do a full week of songwriting residencies, but we have multiple different programs involved in Kid Pan Alley, such as the one where We Need No Excuse for Dreaming, the song that we just performed, is when we walk into a museum with students and we say, pick a piece and write a song about it with us. And, one of the songs that we wrote at Corcoran was about a Monet piece, The Willows in Springtime. And this particular one was about a sculpture. And so that's one. Another one is the intergenerational.
Right. Which we call Across the Ages. And that's what she was talking about there, where we bring together senior citizens and children and they share their stories. And we're talking about not just people who are the age of the kids' grandparents, but people in their 80s, 90s. We even had a 103-year-old gentleman involved in one of them. And we did a really amazing program with Forest Dale and several other schools in Springfield just about a month ago. And Cheryl, maybe you could talk a little bit about that program.
Actually, I'm sorry. Cheryl, please go ahead.
Well, after having the experience with the intergenerational program, I shared with Paul the story about a relationship that we have with a school just right down the street. It's called Key Center, and this is a very special school. It serves significant and profound students with autism and learning disabilities, and many of them use communication devices. And I asked them, I said, what would you think about doing a residency together where our children, the children from Forest Dale, and their buddies from Key got together and shared a residency? Could we blend this? Could we have them tell their story? And Paul was very open to this and spent a great deal of time exploring a lot of different ways to help children who don't talk and communicate the way you and I do every day find their voice through music. And so we also joined in with two other elementary schools in Springfield, Virginia, and then we did a big program, and Paul brought the Kid Pan Alley concert together there with Heather May, and it was phenomenal, and it was an experience of a lifetime. The children from Key got the chance to perform and to make music and to tell stories and to show themselves musically in a very beautiful way.
Cheryl, thank you so very much for making time to share that experience with us.
Well, you're welcome.
This is Virginia Insight. Our focus, the Virginia-based agency Kid Pan Alley, making music with children in classrooms all over the country. If you have a question for our guests or a thought about your reaction to what you're hearing, we'd be happy to hear from you at 888-WMRA-TALK. We've got some more samples of kid-created music coming up in just a minute.
Sat for a spell at the tupelo tree.
The Hummingbird and the Honeybee. Music created by children with the help of the agency Kid Pan Alley. Paul Reisler, is there? Well, first tell us who was singing.
That was Carlton Blunt and Kristen Hott. And what a fantastic little song. It was so much fun. The Kid Pan Alley Band, that's the Kid Pan Alley Band playing on those songs. And we have this fantastic band with a great horn section that features John Dearth on trumpet and Mark Maynard on trombone. And
but
we had
this
such
was created
fun with
by
it.
What age children?
I believe that was like third graders.
And one of the things that's interesting, look at it, and it's off one of the two Kid Pan Alley CDs, which are available to the public, I understand, for sale. But there's such a range of types of song, from the very serious, almost heart-wrenching, to things like the song we play at the top of the hour, My Shoes Are Spying on Me, or this one we just played, Hummingbird and the Honeybee. And I guess from your perspective, it does not matter where the kids go with topic or message?
No. You know, we walk in and say, what do you want to write about today? And when I first started doing Kid Pan Alley, I thought, oh, well, they're all going to want to write about their cat, and I'm going to get really tired of that really quickly. And it rarely comes up about their cat. They want to write about all these different things. And I think that's the great thing for me. It's been... I mean, I'd probably written a couple thousand songs before I started Kid Pan Alley, but now I hear in lyric, if someone says something to me, I immediately translate it into poetry. It's like Leonard Bernstein said that it is ambiguity that turns prose into poetry. And so someone might say something and all of a sudden my filter makes it into poetry. And I think what's happened for me with the children is they have so many ideas and so many different ideas because they're kids, and kids have what you need for songwriting, imagination, that it keeps me really fresh, and we end up writing about all kinds of different things.
One of the things that I love about starting a song in Kid Pan Alley is, like just as Paul said, you ask them, what do you want to write about? And we put about 10 to 15 ideas up. And the first couple, you know, they're a little nervous. You know, what makes a good song? They don't really know. And so they come up with a couple. And then about five ideas in, all of a sudden the room erupts with all of these ideas of songs that they want to write about. And they're amazing. They're from everything from I Used to Know the Names of All the Stars to, you know, How Their Parents Fell in Love to, you know, My Teacher is the Best Person I Know. And it's just, as a songwriter myself, it is a lot of energy. A lot of energy, I would say, has to go into working with Kid Pan Alley. But at the end of the week, I mean, Paul and I are both full-time musicians. I don't feel, like, exhausted. Mm-hmm. I feel as if I'm energized creatively because I can go to my guitar and these kids have inspired me. And I feel like, you know, the teachers actually agree with that as well. The teachers always come away saying, you know, I found a new approach. I found something that I can go to work with them. It's inspiring.
Paul Reisler, I'm not bringing this up because it's my intention to make you feel old. But when Heather mentions that both of you are professional musicians, you've actually been a professional musician for at least as long as Heather's been alive, if not longer.
Substantially longer, maybe almost twice as long.
But you did not come to it easily.
Yes. Yes. I loved music from the time I was a child, but I would walk around the house singing, making up songs when I was 5 years old, and my mother would tell me to be quiet. And finally, I was quiet. And then, you know, I got into high school, and I started playing the guitar, and I wasn't very good. I was playing folk music, and I decided I was going to go to college and study music. I wanted to study music composition. My composition teacher looked at me and he said, "Why are you doing this? You're wasting your time and mine. You'll never do anything in music." And later on, I thought, well, maybe I did something in music just to kind of get even with him. And so I took a great delight in, I've made 30 or 40 albums over the course of my career, which spans back to the 70s. I had a band called Trapezoid, and in 1975, we got a record contract at our first gig. And I've been making records ever since. And so I took great joy in sending those to him. But what it really made me realize was how important it is to encourage children when they're young and let them know that they have that inside of them. And I think that really changes them. I think it really changes a seven-year-old. They write their first song, and it's a great song, and they know it's a great song. So I think I'm doing Kid Pan Alley in reaction, in a way, to the fact that I didn't have that encouragement when I was a child.
So in addition to everything we've been talking about Kid Pan Alley, let's take a, in the few minutes we have left, at least a little bit of a look at your other profession.
Yes.
The band is called Paul Reisler and 1,000 Questions.
That's right. It's a fantastic band. It's got Howard Levy, the harmonica player and piano player, who was in Bela Fleck and the Flecktones and has made hundreds of albums with everybody from Dolly Parton to Paquita de Rivera. And then Heather sings in it, and a wonderful singer, Amy Spies, singer-songwriter from Nashville. And Tom Teasley is playing percussion with us. We have a couple of concerts coming up this weekend.
Before you mention those, let's let people hear a little bit of the very first song on what I think is your newest album, your newest CD. It's called Bring It On.
Every tear I ever cried ran to
The group is called Paul Reisler and 1,000 Questions. I believe the title of that song was Bring It On. And yes. Is the title of the album At Night the Roses Tango?
Yes.
Okay. So whether you have a question about being a musician, being a songwriter, or the other aspect for why Paul Reisler and Heather May are here today, this group that they run across the country that brings songwriting skills to young children in classrooms across the country called Kid Pan Alley. We've got just a couple more minutes if you want to join the conversation at 888-WMRA-TALK, 888-967-2825. Now, in the time continuum we are in right now, this broadcast is airing live on Thursday, June 6th, 2013. It is certain to be re-airing in recorded form at some other time, at which point the information that Paul is about to share with us will probably be confusing. But, Paul, go ahead and share that information with us.
Well, tomorrow night, Friday, June 7th, we've got a 1,000 Questions concert where we'll be doing my songs and instrumentals as well as some Kid Pan Alley songs at the brand-new State Theater in Culpeper, a beautiful, beautiful theater. And then on Saturday, June 8th, at the Gateway Theater in Waynesboro, Virginia. And so I hope some of you will come on out and see that those concerts. There's more information at paulreisler.com. That's PaulReisler.com. And there's also information there. I also teach songwriting to adults basically all over the country and the world. My summer workshops are in British Columbia, Colorado, and the south of France this year.
Heather May, you're in your mid-20s?
Yes, I'm 25.
This thing about encouraging children to believe they have artistry within them, that the experience of writing a song and having it performed by professional artists can almost flip a switch for children. How does that compare to your experience as a child who apparently knew from the age of 2 or 3 that what you wanted to spend your life doing was making music?
Well, when I was, 2 or 3 and singing all over my neighborhood in my elementary school, I had a family that was very encouraging and wanted me to, build on that and keep singing. But I didn't have that many teachers that were pushing me towards the arts. I had a couple that were amazing, but I didn't have, a math teacher that when I would sing, they would just tell me to shush, or a science teacher that didn't embrace creativity. And I feel like creativity is kind of being pushed a little bit out of schools. And I felt that when I was growing up, and I prayed that we had something like Kid Pan Alley. And I think that every child, when they're born, are artists. And I feel like when Kid Pan Alley comes in and we look at them and say, let's create something from nothing, they get strength from that. And they think, especially sometimes we go into schools where the opportunities are lacking. And when we walk in there and we bring something like songwriting to them, and they are a singer themselves, like me when I was 2 or 3, and we come in and we sing with them and we write with them, I think that it builds some kind of hope inside of them. And you can see that and you can feel it when we're done. The concert's over, and I can't help it. Paul makes fun of me, but I cry almost every concert because the kids come up to us and they pretty much tackle us and give us hugs. And it's inspiring watching them go from not having very much in the very beginning of the residency to not really believing that they can do this, and seeing so much of myself in them, as a young 5-6-year-old that would sing Shania Twain at the top of my lungs and wanting something like that too. Then at the end of the week, they feel like, maybe I can do what she does. Maybe I can play guitar like he does. Because they can. Every child has a possibility and ability to be a songwriter. But it's a hard road. It is.
Paul Reisler, do you understand that there are some people, some parents, for example, who see creativity in their children, but worry that if a child is thinking about making a life as a guitar player or making a life as a sculptor or a painter, that they might not be happy with the result as far as there being so much struggle and never being financially secure? So giving the advice of, get a degree in accounting or engineering or even English and use the art on the side. See something different.
Well, I see something very different because, I think anything can be done in an artistic way. And so Kid Pan Alley is a creativity program dressed up in songwriter's clothes. But you can be a farmer who's very creative. You can be an artist as a farmer. You could be an artist as an accountant. It's that ability to put things together and see new ways of looking at them. After all, creativity is the most powerful process in the history of the world. Everything that's been created was created in someone's imagination first.
And so it's your view that what Kid Pan Alley has been doing with these song creation efforts all over the country in classrooms across America is not only creating the idea for kids that they can make music, but also that they can be better engineers and accountants and English teachers.
Right. And they can think in nonlinear ways and put new things together and make new things in whatever field they're in.
Our guests have been vocalist and songwriter Heather May, plus musician, songwriter, and songwriting teacher to both children and adults, Paul Reisler. Both of our guests affiliated with a program Paul created 14 years ago that's still running strong today, Kid Pan Alley. Heather, Paul, thank you both for making time for us.
Thank you so much.
And we're going to close out with a little bit more of this song that children in Nelson County created, and that is sung by Sissy Spacek, "I Do Love Virginia."
Nothing will ever change my mind. Ooh, I do love Virginia. this place behind. I will never leave this place behind. Every time I think life's passing me by, I see that old man standing in the grass with nothing but the day, the sun and the light, and the joy of living right here in the past. Far as I see, the south speaks and I listen, old as time and new as the dawn. Song of the peepers and the whippoorwill calling. The times may be changing, but the spirit lives on.
Thanks for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more insight.
Nothing will ever change my